This episode is made possible by StackAdapt. Marketers, StackAdapt has just the thing to get you back on your design team's good side, in case you've fallen out with them recently. With a creative builder in StackAdapt, you can build multiple ad creatives in many sizes in just a few clicks, just a handful. Plus, make real-time edits to your creatives right in the StackAdapt platform. You can, of course, learn more at go.stackadapt.com/creativebuilder.
Even though Spotify is growing now, you have to imagine that, you know, if they just keep doing the same thing, the runway is going to start to run dry a little bit. And I'm sure Spotify does not want to find itself in a position that like Netflix was in spring 2022.
Hey gang, it's Tuesday, February 20th. I hope you folks here in the States had a nice long President's Day weekend. Daniel and listeners, welcome to the despicably early in the morning episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast made possible by StackAdapt. I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by one of our analysts on the marketing and advertising briefing. He's based in New York. It's Daniel Konstantinovich.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's not that early.
Yeah, but it feels early, you know.
Now, the listeners don't know how early it is. It's early, okay?
Yeah, it could be 5 a.m.
It's not, but it could be. Today's fact, let's start there. This one's good, though. Maybe this will get us a bit hyped for the episode. So no president of the U.S. was an only child.
Really? That's surprising to me. I feel like that's a very only child syndrome job to gun for.
Type of job? Yeah. Yeah, no, none of them. There were no only children, but the three presidents only had one sibling, Calvin Coolidge, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and Ronald Reagan. On average, the presidents had a little over five siblings. On
five? Average.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's a few too many.
Lots of siblings. James Madison had the most, obviously, founding father, fourth president. He had more siblings than any other president with 11.
Oh my God.
That's too many. Yeah, I felt like
that's
needed
some real back in the day numbers.
I felt like I needed more attention and there are just three of us. 11? No, too many. Anyway, today's real topic. Whatever next for Spotify. In today's episode, First in the Lead, we'll cover Spotify. No, in other news, let's get to it. So, Danny, as always with these episodes, where we're looking at performance of these different tech companies, music streaming companies, video streaming companies. We're going to look at how big are they, how much money are they making, kind of what's next, where are the new areas of growth coming from. We'll start with how many people are using the platform. By the end of 2023, Spotify crossed the 600 million monthly active users mark. That's a worldwide number, of course, adding nearly as many as they did at the end of the year as they did at the end of the previous year. So their Q4s were similar, Q4 of last year versus the previous one in terms of additions to that number, getting it across the 600 million line. So time to play slice of pie, Danny. Could you please create a pie chart as to the reasons why Spotify was able to add 28 million new users in Q4 and cross that 600 million mark milestone by the end of the year?
Okay, first slice. I think Spotify Wrapped is a big reason why the company tends to perform well in this quarter. They said in their earnings that the Wrapped campaign grew more than 40% year over year across 170 markets. So it was a really big year for this campaign, which typically is a really large end of year ad campaign. So for people who don't know, Spotify Wrapped is basically this year end fun, personalized organization of your listening data that will show you who are your favorite artists, what are your favorite songs, your most played songs this year, how many new artists.
It's a nice summary.
Yeah, it's a lot of people look forward to it, and it's like a big moment in music culture, I guess. And it's, you know, good graphic design, shared a lot on social media. And I think it is a huge driver of attention and new business for Spotify. And it's so successful that so many other companies now copy it. Like, you know, I don't know if this is exactly true, but if it's not, soon enough, Instacart will be showing you, you know, carrots were your favorite grocery of the year, you know, and spinach is number two, stuff like that.
You know what? That's not a bad idea, especially, I mean, you could argue that it's even more important with something like that because it's showing you what your diet's like, how healthy have you been or not been. And so that could actually be quite powerful.
That's true. It's a little less fun, you know, to see that you spent $2,000 on toilet paper this year than like you listened to Imagine Dragons 100 times. But yeah, I do think Spotify Wrapped is a really big part of why the company did well.
What share would you give it in terms of percent? I don't think I have explained the question. We were talking before the episode. I was like, did I explain the slice of pie correctly? And Daniel was being generous. He was like, kind of. but I don't think I have because Minda didn't. She was on the episode last week talking about Snapchat. And she was unprepared to give these slices percentages as well. So
I don't know
if you could, what do you think?
That's a tough one. Let's be safe and say like, well, because I have three, you know, sections here, let's give it a good 33%.
A third? Yeah. Okay, convenient.
Yeah, very convenient. Nice. Very convenient. I wonder what the other two's percent are. So for the second reason, audiobooks have been on Spotify for a year at this point, a little over a year, but they were folded into premium subscriptions. So they spent a year trying to get this to work and trying to make audiobooks kind of fit into their premium suite and revenue picture, and they hit a big milestone in making them available to, you know, a general premium subscriber. So I think premium subscribers get, I believe it's like, it's a lot. You get a lot of listening. You get like, we talked about it on a previous episode. I think it amounts to
15 hours.
Yeah,
a
15
month?
Hours. That's right. It's like a book and a half if you measure the average length of audiobooks. So
which is right around the average apparently in terms of how much people read.
Yeah. So that is a, you know, a really significant addition to premium that really increases the value of the service. And I'm sure that it drove new subscriptions to an extent. It did also result in a price hike for premium, but I guess we can get to that later. They you know, raised the prices in the US for the first time. So I think the audiobook launch was a big part of what drove subscriptions, because premium subscriptions did very well in Q4.
Yeah, last year's price increase of $1 appears to not have had any effect on the user growth.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, I think they, you know, I don't want to say they got away with it because it sounds like some crime was committed, but for lack of a better term, they got away with it because so many services were raising prices, you know, so they were kind of lost in the mix and, you know, everyone else is doing it. So Spotify can kind of get away with it a little bit more quietly.
Yeah.
$1.
And they were doing it by, $1 is barely anything compared to what some of the other streaming services, mostly video we're talking about, have been doing in terms of increasing their prices.
Yeah.
And I think music, with Spotify, I think if they increase their prices from $10 a month to $30, I'd be like, sure. What am I going to cut my music service?
Yeah, exactly.
Spotify, don't. If you're listening, keep it low. But I would pay that.
Exactly. Like, it's a very sticky service for a lot of reasons. There's so much personalization in there. There's not really a way to like transfer your created or saved playlists to another music service.
Yeah. All right. So we got 33% for Wrapped. 33% for audiobooks, the last third?
There was a big push into foreign markets in Q4 and in Q3. And in the previous quarter, it blamed some slightly lower revenues on this push because they were offering discounts for Spotify in order to onboard these new consumers, like they did ages ago here in the US and in other major markets of theirs. So I think that is contributing to some growth for Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to split that like little piece of the pie chart with Spotify just has a big lead. You know, they, I think, are still benefiting from being first on the market, basically, or the first major service on the market. They are a brand that is really well established in music culture, in pop culture. Things like Spotify Wrapped, you know, contribute to that. So I think when people are looking at a new music service to sign up to, or, you know, if they don't pay for one at all already, I think Spotify is probably where, you know, their mind immediately goes.
So we've got, okay, so 33% Wrapped, we've got 33% audiobooks, that leaves 17% for foreign markets, 17% for first mover advantage. Yeah, that's it. That's a healthy pie chart. I want to note Spotify, so they had a great 2023 in terms of adding new subscribers. They added more in 2023, 113 million than they did in 2022, which was 83 million. So yeah, pretty decent increase there. And they're adding mainly ad-supported people, over 80 million ad-supported people versus 30 million premium editions, even though most of the money they make is, of course, from premium subscribers, people who pay to avoid ads. Daniel, let's move to the money they made. In Q4, Spotify made just under $4 billion in worldwide revenues. That's up 16% year on year, almost the same as the 18% they recorded the previous Q4. Time to play Slice of Pie again. Could you create a pie chart this time as to the reasons why Spotify grew its revenue 16% in Q4?
Okay, there are a couple things here. Premium subscribers grew 15%. Now they have 236 million premium subscribers. That was above expectations. Premium is the biggest driver of revenues at Spotify. Their ad-supported revenues lag kind of far behind, even though they are seeing strong growth there and a lot of people using the ad-supported service. So yeah, as usual, premium revenues are a big deal. And part of why premium revenues grows, as we just talked about, is all these new product launches. Audiobooks are a big deal. There are a lot of, you know, sort of bargain offers to Spotify for new premium subscribers that give them access to, you know, a streaming service like Hulu or something like that. So they are still doing a really good job at onboarding new customers. So if we had to designate a chunk of the pie chart to premium, I don't know what percentage I would say, but it's probably going to be the biggest chunk because it's the biggest piece of their revenue picture. So then, you know, this is so not exact, but maybe let's give it like a 2/3. Let's give it like a 66.66.
Nice. Okay.
So other things, you know, I want to look at Spotify's ad business, which still lags pretty far behind their premium revenues, but is a big thing that I think the market looks at to judge how the company is doing. There's a lot of pressure on Spotify to increase its ad revenues through things like podcasting is the main thing, even audiobooks. And Spotify has made some big changes to its podcasting business. So after, you know, over a year of trying to make the platform exclusive podcast work where you can only listen to, you know, Joe Rogan or whatever major popular show they spent a lot of money on Spotify, they have now kind of given up on that initiative because it wasn't really working. Like listener growth stalled. In some cases, it fell pretty drastically. So now, for the first time in years, shows like Joe Rogan are appearing on rival platforms, but Spotify still has the advertising and distribution rights to these shows. So the downside is maybe people aren't, you know, subscribing to Spotify Premium to listen to these exclusive podcasts, but the overall listener pool increases significantly when it starts appearing on all of these other services, which in turn lets Spotify charge more for advertising on these major shows and just its shows in general. So I think changes to the podcasting business in the last quarter are a definite reason why things were on the up.
Okay.
Those are kind of the big two, I would say. I mean, music advertising also did really well and grew significantly.
Okay. So premium subscribers, 2/3, changes to how they think about podcasts, probably pretty much the rest, maybe a sprinkle of music ads as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Okay. It's interesting because, as you mentioned, they had the first mover advantage and Spotify, they're the biggest music streaming company. So why isn't the largest music streaming platform making tons of money? There was a good article in the journal noting that Spotify has a 30% market share, which is twice that of its next largest competitor. One of the reasons is pretty obvious, is because Spotify pays music labels and other rights holders 70 cents of every dollar it earns for music streaming, which is why diversifying its revenue is that much more important. And so Spotify is working on its non-music related revenues. John Porter of The Verge pointing out that beyond music, you were talking about one, podcasting, it's adjusted its approach, it's signing that $250 million deal with podcast king Joe Rogan, that, who you mentioned, which will now allow podcasts to be distributed along and other podcasting platforms. The second is audiobooks, which we've also talked about. On that front, Spotify now letting premium subscribers access that 15 hours of audiobook content as part of their subscription after previously selling it exclusively as an on-demand extra. And then also high-quality music. Spotify's expected high quality music streaming tier, which may now be rebranded Supremium from what we're hearing, is still in the works. Initially, it was branded Hi-Fi when it was revealed 3 years ago, but not released yet. So a number of initiatives and other things as well that they've tried and maybe already given up on. But Danny, for the last question here, could you create a where new growth is most likely to come from pie chart for Spotify?
You know, this is the hardest one for me, actually. I think podcasts are one. I mean, Daniel Ek called podcasting a $20 billion opportunity for the company in 2022. So it's, you know, clear that they're going to try and make this a major driver of revenue for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're clearly committed to increasing podcast revenues as much as they can, right? And that's why they're doing things like loosening up on exclusivity, which I think is going to help with their ad revenues from podcasts. So that is kind of the biggest, I guess, like area that Spotify is moving where it's easy to see how that would contribute to revenue growth for them. The rest is a little bit tougher. I mean, there is the foreign market push that I mentioned that I'm sure they will continue investing in. We're starting to hit a point of listener saturation in the US and UK and their like core markets. So places like China and Argentina, where there are still double-digit podcast listener growth, are really important to them. But beyond that, it's kind of hard. I wonder a lot, like, what is the next thing for Spotify? And I think they are kind of struggling with this question too, because you talked about the premium tier, all these things that they're doing, you know, to try and diversify revenues don't really sound like a, I don't know, a killer app that will be a major driver of growth. I feel like they've yet to identify what like the next frontier for the music streaming services.
I wonder if they have to though. Because they are, as we mentioned, you know, the number one company by a lot of measures in terms of music streaming, the number one company in terms of what people think about or where people think to go in terms of podcasting. And they saw to that with over $1 billion worth of investment. And Spotify's audiobook position. So Spotify just passed Apple to become the number two provider of audiobooks, according to Bookstat. But their estimated 6 million US units sold or streamed is 8 times fewer than first place Audible. So there's work to be done there. But number two position in audiobooks already is still pretty good. And so Anne Steele of the Wall Street Journal was writing, the executives say the company has made progress transforming from a music streaming service into an audio company. They got music, podcasts, and audiobooks.
Yeah.
But it does feel like Spotify, it needs a rebrand because it has a hold on all these industries, it seems. But I think in the piece, she basically offers them a new ad. She writes, Spotify is the only service that offers streaming music, podcasts, and hours of audiobook listening in the same app for $10.99. And I just don't think of Spotify as, you know, the audio app, if you will. I think of it as a place for music. And then when I'm thinking about podcasts, I think about it then. And then whereas if they thought about it, people thought about it more as the go-to place, maybe there's more of an overlap for audiences.
You know, I don't know if I fully agree. Like I definitely personally think of Spotify as the audio place. Like I'm there listening to music. If a podcast I listen to drops a new episode, I'm listening to it there. It's just kind of like an easy to go-to hub for all of this stuff and for audiobooks now. But I do.
It is. But I wonder if the people think about that consciously.
Yeah, know? I mean, that's a good question. Like, we definitely think about it differently than maybe the average consumer would. But yeah, I mean, your point of do they have to find the next frontier is an interesting one. Because I mean, clearly, by doing somewhat of business as usual, Spotify is continuing to grow and continuing to see success. Because I think even though Spotify is growing now, you have to imagine that, you know, if they just keep doing the same thing, the runway is going to start to run dry a little bit. And I'm sure Spotify does not want to find itself in a position that like Netflix was in spring 2022, when they were just doing business as usual. And then, oops, you know, we didn't really do anything to address subscriber saturation and all these other issues in the market. And now we've lost subscribers and we have to fully reimagine our business to meet market demands and like launch an ad supported tier and like panic. Yeah. I'm sure Spotify wants to preempt that and find, you know, when this well starts to run dry, what is the next thing we're going to tap? And I don't know how easy that question is to answer.
In the meantime, it seems like their strategy has been, if you can't grow money, cut money. And Spotify has been working towards becoming more consistently profitable. They scale back on their podcast investments. They've raised prices, as we mentioned, and they're cutting its staff as well. Yeah, they laid off 17% of its employees in December alone, which appears to have helped. Spotify narrowed its losses to $75 million in Q4, down from nearly $300 million the Q4 before that. Final point here before we move to grades, Danny, I want to mention is Spotify trying to become this audio app. In one world, Spotify becomes this audio app on its own. In another world, Tim Ingham, a music industry analyst and founder of trade publication Music Business Worldwide, he thinks Spotify could be an eventual takeover target for companies like, he said, Microsoft, Netflix, and Chinese giant Tencent, which actually currently has a 9% stake. So maybe someone buys it. Maybe that's the way.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. Maybe Microsoft.
Yeah.
Not so much after the whole Activision Blizzard acquisition that has, you know, regulator eyes on them pretty carefully. Point. But Tencent is a really interesting one that I hadn't thought of. Yeah, that would be that would be a big one.
All right, time for some grades. What grade would you give Spotify for their Q4 and then also for their 2023 performance?
I would say, I'm always wary of going too high, but I mean, they had a good year. They had a really good quarter, cut costs, revenues way up, subscriptions way up. So I would say an A.
Yeah. I love how you're like, I'm always wary of going too high. So I'll go.
Yeah. A. I needed to qualify as I can. That, you know, I don't know. Why not?
He's normally a tough grader. Know? He's normally a tough grader.
Oh, yeah.
Spotify's, but yeah, it's fair to say A because full year, in 2023, Spotify made $14 billion. That's up 13%. It's decent. The problem is it's down from over 20% at the growth each of the previous 2 years. And they made $2 billion of that 14 from ads. So that's doing it again. That is growing slowly but surely. They're expecting 20% growth in users in Q1, which would nearly match last Q1. So off to a decent start this year in terms of their guidance. That is all we have time for this episode. Thank you so much, Danny, for hanging out today.
It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Thank you to Victoria, who edits the show. And the rest of the gang, James, Stewart, and Sophie. Thank you to them. Thank you to everyone for listening in to the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast made possible by StackAdapt. Tune in tomorrow to hang out with Sarah Lebo, who is speaking about AI and hyper-personalization with Susie David-Canyon and Karina Perkins.